Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi there. I'm Maxine Marcellini, and you have tuned in to The River. We're very happy to have you join us today. The river is always something that is very special to me. I love rivers. They represent quiet sometimes. They represent struggle sometimes. But for the most part, they're a place I love to go to relax, see what God is doing in my life, just enjoy how the water is running downstream and taking care of all the things at the other end of the river and the tributaries that flow in and out. And it just thrills me to sit by a river. And I think of it as kind of a safe place. And so I'd like you to see this program as a safe place where we're going to be talking about things that are real, things that have emotional value to them, things about ministry and events taking place in the world today, with authors, with ministries, with many, many things. I am an author myself. My ministry is Rebuilding Families, and you can reach me at rebuildingfamilies.net. What I do is put out product for step families and for any family. But I do specialize in step family since I am one and have been one for over 36 years now. We've got a yours, mine, and ours family, and when that happened for us, there weren't many resources. So God in his humor chose me to write some of those. And now my latest book that I co-authored with my husband is called Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, which addresses many of the things going on in the economy today. And perhaps in the near future we'll do a program on that one. But joining me today is my marvelous, wonderful co-host, Jeannie St. John Taylor. She herself is an author in her own right and an illustrator, and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about what she does. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Nice to be with you again today, Maxine. I love this beautiful weather.
Well, it's gorgeous today.
Isn't it gorgeous? You didn't call me gorgeous, right? You called the weather gorgeous?
You are gorgeous, and the day is
okay.
Just as beautiful.
I am an author that I have, more than 25 books published. I can't say right offhand how many. I write and illustrate my own children's books. I also write nonfictions, mostly for moms, and on prayer. But my latest book is a novel. It's my first adult novel, and I wrote it because I'm concerned about other gods that I see creeping into our culture. So I wrote on the subject of Noah and the last days for Noah, which I think also fits our time. And if you want to read that book, you can get it on a Kindle, you can buy a paperback, or I felt so strongly about wanting readers that I put it on a blog where you can read it for free. And if you go to my website, www.jeanniestjohntaylor.com, it will lead you right to the blog where you can read it for free. And I would appreciate prayer that more people from Muslim countries would read that book. I have several, and I really want them to read that.
Okay, well, thank you, Jeannie. Glad to have you bring us up to speed on what you're doing. And you've got a couple of your children's books now that are getting ready to be on Kindle, too, aren't you?
Oh, that's right. I already have a couple on, and I've got, is it children? No, it's adult, it's nonfiction, adult nonfiction going on now.
Okay. All right, which ones can they expect to see on that?
I can't remember right now. I think it's 101 stories of answered prayer and prayers for troubled times. Those are going on Kindle right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. They will be out, and we'll let you know when those are available. So today we are actually going to be doing some talking about mothers. We have as our special guest Susie Eller. She leads Women in a New Direction. She shares with parents, women, and 20-somethings on how to give your family and you something greater. How to live life intentionally, free, and faith-filled. Wow, that resonates with me. She is a passionate Proverbs 31 ministry speaker who has spoken to groups of all sizes in Germany, Austria, Hungary, El Salvador, Jamaica, and throughout the United States. Her story has been shared on The Harvest Show, Midday Connection, Focus on the Family, Aspiring Women, and so many other programs. And she is the author of more than 1,000 articles and 5 books. Susie, I've just returned from Germany and Austria myself, so I can kind of relate to where you've been in some of those countries. And the fact that you're an Oklahoma girl is probably going to touch the heart of many of our listeners today. She loves family. She's a grandma like Jeannie and I. We've got grandbabies that we are just loving on. And cheesecake, that's another favorite. She tells me she likes hiking and most of all finds her joy in following Christ. And I know Jeannie and I share that heart with you, Susie. So welcome to the river, Susie.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here. I'm really excited about spending time with you today.
You share, your story, I started reading some of it as I went to Amazon.com. And I tell you, you just have come through so much in your own childhood with a mom who had so many negative mothering skills. But yet you have come through that. So would you share just a little bit on that background with your mom so we can catch our listeners up with where we're going to begin today? Because the book we're talking about is The Mom I Want to Be. And I know about me, I want to be the mom. I want to be the grandmother who God wants me to be and who I know in my heart I should be.
Sure. Well, the subtitle to my book is Rising Above Your Past to Give Your Children a Greater Future. And if you look back in my family tree, there's just a lot of broken women. And what happened is one woman who really in her heart wanted to be a good mom, but it's hard when no one has shown you how, would pass down what happened to the next generation. And the way I describe that is like having just this old tattered piece of baggage that's been beat up and it's filled with things that are hurtful. And they put it in the hands of the next generation and say, do what you can with this. It's all I know to give you. And so when I look at my mom was, she was sick. She had asthma. She was taking medication that was making her feel very suicidal. It was causing some real mental breakdowns. And so what that meant for all of us is that life was a roller coaster. One day it might be that we had a mom who was regretful and sorry for what happened the day before, and then the next day we had a mom that was out of control or a mom that was suicidal or that was trying to take her life. Or we had a mom that was abusive physically or abusive emotionally. So it was just a hard place to be as a child. Maxine?
Hi, Susie?
Yes.
Well, you know what? Something is going wrong with our switchboard. This is Jeannie. It dropped me, and I called back in. Evidently, I made it. I don't know how. And now it looks like it's dropped Maxine. So I'm listening, and now I'm back. I think Maxine will be here in a minute. I think I hear her right now.
Well, the line got dropped on my...
mine did too, Maxine.
For some reason, something crazy went on. And so, Susie, did you stay online?
I did. I was hanging out with your listeners and just sharing your story.
Thanks. And I have a question for you, Susie. This is Jean.
Sure.
Would you tell us a little bit about your own family and your own kids? I saw the most gorgeous pictures on your website. And tell us about becoming a mom as a believer and what that was like.
Well, I became a believer when I was a teenager. And the one thing that I really wanted as I became a mom was to give my children a home that was normal. And it didn't have to be perfect. In fact, far from perfect. My own kids would say that it was sometimes chaotic and I was learning. But it was a home filled with a lot of laughter. And so today I have 3 children that are grown. They are 28, 28, and 29. So I have twins and then a daughter who's 19 months older than her brother and sister. And they are all married. And so I actually have 6 kids because I have a beautiful daughter-in-law and 2 sons-in-law. And then now because I had three children in 19 months, I'm starting to have grandchildren kind of in the same fashion. I have a 14-month-old grandbaby. I have a 4-month-old grandson. And then I have a new granddaughter that is on the way in November.
Mm.
And then now, I can't forget Richard. I need to throw him in there.
You needed a husband.
I do. I've been married to a really incredible man of God who is kind and fun, and I still like him a whole lot.
Oh, good.
And if people go to your website, can they see pictures of your family? And you want to tell them your website?
Sure. It's tsuzanneeller.com. And you know, Maxine, I remember you asked the question, how did my faith help? I just remember holding Leslie in my arms for the first time as a new mom. And I had two thoughts at that moment. And there's going to be a lot of moms that understand this. But I thought, what a miracle. She's the most beautiful gift I could ever receive. But honestly, the next second, I looked to the Lord and said, please help me not mess this up.
Aww.
Because it had been so messed up for so many in my family before me.
And, you know, I appreciate your honesty in that, because I think you are not alone in that, because I've often been with a young mom who says, I don't know how to be a mother. And as I read some of the words in your book, you were asking the same question, how do I do this when I don't know how?
Absolutely. And I needed to first, in my faith, was to ask God to help me, to ask God to bring people into my life who did perhaps have some qualities that I'd never been shown, but also to believe that God saw the potential in me that I might not have seen in myself. To be the mom that I wanted to be, and to forgive and to move forward. There were a lot of aspects on the road ahead of me as a mom.
Mm. And, you know, this is Jeannie. I am old now, and I have three kids in their 30s, and I still feel just a sense of miracle and almost disbelief that I could be a mom. I think, I just can't believe God allowed me to be a mom, and I can't believe the way God helped me through all of it and the way he answered prayer for me. Is that, do you get that feeling too, or am I unusual?
No. I don't think so, because I speak at parenting conferences across the nation, and you know what? We always all look like we have it together on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I get up to share my story or to share how to unpack unhealthy parenting baggage or something like that, I'll look across the crowd and I see this beautiful crowd of women who look like they have it all together. And then they line up afterwards and begin to share their stories. And no, we're not alone. And so what I tell them is that it is a continual growth process. You know, to be a mother of a newborn, and I'm watching my own children go through this now, it's intense and it's hard and it's wonderful. And there are things that you learn there. And then when you have, maybe they're in their tweens or their teens. But now I'm a mother-in-law. And so what that means is there's more things to learn, because I want to be not just an extended family member. I want Kristen and Stephen and Josh, who are my beautiful in-law children, to look at me and think, I am safe with her. She loves me. She wants the best for me and my family. And then now as a grandma, here we are again, another new learning curve. And that's okay. It just means that I'm going to be growing.
Yeah, that's good. Now, I don't know what was said in the time when my line got dropped, but
mostly it was, Maxine, where are you? Oh, Susie, it dropped me too.
You know, I don't, Jeannie, did you share with Susie how we'd been having some technical trouble just getting
I
on
told her
air,
a little bit. We were having
some of that
problems all day, yeah.
We've kind of never really had the line drop like that before, so that was unusual and quite startling, actually. So one of the things that I'd like to touch on, though, while we have the time today, Susie, is the fact of the humiliation and the strange punishments that your mother put you through and different things. And the one that where she sent you to school at 8 years old with a sign around you that said, I'm a stupid girl.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? And What happened next once you got to school?
I don't remember exactly what I did to make that happen. I just remember that I was in trouble and this was my punishment. And I do remember also that Mom said, you can't take it off. And I knew that I couldn't take it off. And I want to interject just something really quick before I finish the story to say that my mom is an example of what God can do. She is one of my best friends today. She is a woman that is growing in her faith, and she is so healed and so beautiful, but she was broken then. So God not only came in and touched my life, but later, years later, I got to watch him work in my mom's life, and she came along with me in this project. So I don't want to harm her in any way, because this is the past. But what had happened is I was in trouble. I was wearing the sign. I remember walking into the school, and children didn't know what to do. You know, they didn't know whether to laugh, to turn away. We were just little kids. And those words had become more than words on a piece of paper. They were words that were sinking into the heart of an 8-year-old girl. And I felt stupid. And so my principal came and knelt down in front of me because he saw this sign on my back. And he turned me around and he said, what is this? He began to take it off one by one. It was with those giant pins that they used to do cloth diapers with that had like elephant heads on them, and was taking those off one by one. And he crumpled it into a ball, took me into the principal's office, and he called my mother to say, this will never happen again. And two things happened there that I only realized as an adult. First, he took my punishment. He stood as an advocate for me, and he did something for me that I could not do myself, which was to remove those words. And in a lot of ways, now as an adult, I think that perhaps Principal Shelstead was my first glimpse of what God could be.
And
wow,
that
is powerful. Is you know, I had no concept of God at that time, and not for many years to come. But I look back and I just think, you know, later on there was a time when the Lord just gently kneeled down and said, you got some words marked on your heart, sweet girl, that should have never been placed there. And I'm going to remove those and put some like beloved and mine. And God is good. God is truly, truly good.
That's such an inspiration. I think it shows a lot of people who, a little off the subject, but people who think that they're not reaching anybody, not touching anybody, not speaking for the Lord, and especially teachers and principals at a time when they're not allowed to at school, that it's a wonderful, inspirational thing that you just showed them ways they can do that.
I think some of the most ordinary people are the people who shaped my life the most.
Wonderful.
Teachers at church, you know, Sunday school teachers, discipleship, my youth pastors, they had no idea what was going on at home because I didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it, but they showed me normalcy.
So how did you endure all of this and then come to a place where you were able to recognize that this wasn't a normal way to raise children? Even though your mother's changed, and I presume maybe had that type of parenting into her own life, but how did you break the generational curse, so to speak?
Well, again, looking at my family tree, I can draw a clear line that says, Jesus, no Jesus. I mean, when you have alcoholism or you have mental illness or you have, and it's just rampant in your family tree, there has to be something significant that changes the course of that. And for me, that was I encountered Christ. And so I remember tangibly thinking as I grew up, the one thing that I wanted was to draw a line in the sand that said, it ends here. We're going to grow a new branch of the family tree. I had no idea how that was going to take place, but I knew I
and
wanted
how
it.
That?
Well, one of the things that I began to do was to go into back to the past, and this is as a young adult, to go back and look at that tattered legacy that I'm talking about and to say, what is it that has been handed down from woman to woman to woman in my family tree, and in what ways am I still carrying this on into the next generation? Now, I want to give a real concrete example of that. In my family tree, when the women hit a hard place in the road, they take off in one way or the other. My grandmother took off for a couple of weeks at a time, would leave her children in unstable situations. For my own mom, it was threats of suicide. That's the ultimate way to take off. For me, I didn't do either of those because I was on the road to healing. But what I did do is when conflict happened, I just put it under the rug because I wasn't going to deal with it. Because in my mind, conflict meant something really bad. So I had to unpack that and say, okay, I'm taking it out, but what can I replace it with? And first it had to be with the concept that even normal families have conflict. Normal relationships have conflict. And so what I needed to find was healthy ways to deal with conflict that left me and my family feeling safe to work through it to find resolution. Or if not to find resolution, to work through it as family who loves each other and chooses to disagree.
Yeah, you bring
that's
out.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Maxine.
Now, those are important things that you're talking about because I often tell people, you know, we don't have to see eye to eye. We can still walk hand in hand. We don't have to be combatant about it if we're going to do things a little bit differently.
Right, and one of the things I teach at these conferences, Maxine, is how to have a good fight, you know, because a lot of times if you've been raised in dysfunction, you think to yourself, if we fight, that's bad. But to have a good fight simply means that you come to the table with the things that really matter to you as a family and without using words that are harmful and definitely not in the heat of the moment. You work through those to find something that works for your relationship. And so I just had so much to learn.
You know, and that's a really hard lesson for people to learn. I mean, I don't think too many people learn it on their own. Oh, gosh. So, sorry about that. sorry. We're having a tough day today, Susie.
We're having an interesting time with our connections today, aren't we? But you know what? In my own situation, in what I teach for blended families, though, there's often many, many patterns of generational sins that have come forward, just what Susie's talking about here today. And it isn't always just on the mom's end of it, but the moms are bringing a piece in, the dads are, and then we're putting together the blended situation where the drama gets bigger. But the stability of a mom cannot be understated within the family. What would you say creates stability in a mom, and how can she move forward to give these kids a really solid upbringing?
Well, there was a couple of things that I had to learn right away. And one is that I had to learn that not to take things personal, that if my child had a meltdown in Walmart, she was not against me. She was a work in progress. She's this beautiful gift that's been given to me, or he is this beautiful gift that has been given to me. And I had an opportunity to teach or to train in that moment, but it wasn't about me. It wasn't that I was a bad mom. It wasn't that she was trying to hurt me. You know, if you take the me part out of it, the personalization, and you just see in that moment, I have this moment to teach her to train, and here's the tools to do it, then it took the emotion out of it, and you love the child, but you address the behavior. So that was a huge thing for me, because sometimes when you've been hurt, you make everything about you. And that carried over not just in my relationship with my children, but my family relationship, my relationship with my husband. And the second thing that I had to learn is that to long-term parents, to look at the bigger picture. And so I would look at that moment and say, man, this is a hard parenting moment. I've just put myself in the bedroom, turned off the lights, looked at the Lord and said, I don't have a clue right now what to do. But to give myself a little grace and understand that it's not going to be, you know, one moment was not going to be the culmination. I wasn't going to be regressing back to that old family tree, that I was going to apologize if I did something that I shouldn't have or said something that perhaps was harsher than it should have been. But overall, I was going to live, love my children, and eventually all of those seeds of being consistent and loving them and apologizing when I needed to would create fruit. And it did. It did. And I couldn't always see that because sometimes, you know, you have a child that maybe is a teenager and he or she, you get in a conflict and you think, man, am I a lousy mom? But if I looked at the big picture, my heart was in the right place. I was trying. I was teaching. I was loving. And I was doing the best I could. And, you know, that fruit would come. And it did.
I think you're hitting on a big piece right there, doing the best you can and trusting God for the rest.
Yeah. He comes through.
Yeah,
he comes through
for us.
And we need to, you know, I'm not throwing out like, we can't live a life where we say, you know, I'm going to keep messing up, I'm going to keep saying these harsh words, or I'm going to keep falling into these old patterns, and it's okay. It's not. It's not okay. But at the same time, we have to live with enough grace for ourselves that says, you know, Lord, I'm running after you to be the best mom that I can be. But today, man, it was not a stellar day. And there's times I've went to my kids and said, you know what? So messed up today. So messed up. But this is my heart. And, you know, there's children are receptive to that. You know, my children are grown. They're still receptive to that because I'm by no means am I ever going to be perfect.
And it's so important to be able to say you're sorry when it's necessary to say. A lot of people
sure.
can't do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have one more question. And we're going to need to probably make it kind of brief. I think we're starting to run out of time. But you talked about, you said earlier your mom worked with you on this project. Was that a challenge for you? And why did you ask her?
It was the hardest thing I've ever done. I relate it to, it felt like giving birth to barbed wire. It was hard.
Ooh, ouch.
But the reason I did that is when the publisher approached me to write this book after knowing that I taught these conferences, I first said no. But I went to my mom, told her that they had asked me, told her I'd said them no, and she said, you know what, Susie, if I'd had a book like this, it would have helped me. So she came on board, shares her story at the first of every chapter, which really gives it another generational look at this is the baggage she carried in. This is how she felt. Because as a child, all you can see is your point of view. But really, there was a larger point of view. And it was hard. But she carries books with her wherever she goes. And she hands them out.
Bless her heart.
You know,
yes.
I think we need to give a round of applause, basically, to Mom. Because to be able to do that after knowing the pain she'd caused you and to be able to do that had to be healing for her, but then to take it to that next step of now talking about it, speaking about it, she's got to be feeling a freedom she never knew existed prior to those moments.
Yeah.
Well, she understands. She does. When somebody says, I've messed up and I think there's no second chance for me, and she can turn around and say, can I just tell you that my daughter is my heart? And this is our story. Can I just let you read it? And that's pretty powerful.
Very powerful. Would you tell our listeners again how they can get a hold of you, how they can get a hold of your book? Because you have got a lot of wisdom going on in this material, and I know there's moms out there that really need to hear it. My heart is breaking for a mom who is now saying she was drunk when her 10-month-old baby went missing. They haven't found that child yet. But there are moms doing things they shouldn't be doing when in their heart we know they wish they could be the mom they want to be. So would you mention the name of your book again in its full entirety and how we can get a hold of that, Susie?
Sure. And it's for moms who also were raised like that and desire to give their child something better. But it's the mom I want to be, rising above your past to give your child a greater future, at tsuzanneeller.com, or you can go to proverbs31.org, and it's on Amazon, Walmart.com, any place online.
And well, I think listeners should all get a copy, don't you, Maxine?
Oh, I think they should. I think, yeah. You know, and if you've got daughters or anybody that you think could enjoy that, or mothers that haven't healed from their own poor parenting before they start being grandparents to your children, maybe they ought to see some of that, too. It might be good gifts for many generations here. But
I like Susie's idea of handing it out when you come into contact with someone like that who's feeling hopeless.
Yeah.
I just love that idea.
And I like what you've got listed on your website there, that if they purchase it through the Proverbs 31, the proceeds then go back into ministry. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am, because Proverbs is a nonprofit, and there's a radio ministry and a magazine ministry, but we also send lots of Bibles to new believers. So it goes right back into a very good work.
Well, that is awesome. And Proverbs 31 ministry is just a powerful ministry that's been going on for a very long time now. Much
yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Susie, thank you so much for being our guest today. We apologize again for the craziness with the switchboard and the dropped calls and different things that took place today, because I just think the enemy was trying to mess up our program today, obviously, because we had something very important to say through you. Is there something you'd like to leave the listeners with that hasn't been said?
I just, if there is a woman listening right now that feels like she just needs someone to encourage her, I want to encourage her that she's shaping the heart of a child, that God sees her and he loves her. And if she needs that extra strength, from him to do this enormous, wonderful job that we're privileged to do, to call out his name, and he will help.
Thank you. And Jeannie, do you have one more thing you'd like to say this afternoon?
Well, I would just like to say that I'm inspired about in renewing and rebuilding, and I think that fits with your website too, Maxine. And I just think women should have one of these in their purse to hand out when they run into somebody who really needs it. And we thank you so much, Susie. You were a great guest. Thank you.
Thank you. I loved it.
And thank you. Thank you for joining us at the river today, Susie. Thank you, Jeannie, for being such a wonderful co-host today. And for listeners, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Please tell your friends that we have archives available. And that would be at KRVR. And please mention our radio program to your friends. We'd appreciate you spreading the word. Our programs broadcast every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and always are available for later listening. Take a moment to rate the program if you'd like at www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBR. And until next week, this is Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor reminding you that you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away. We look forward to you joining us next week on the river. God bless you.